This is Northwest Reports. I'm Maliha Sayed. Today, we're diving into the newest season of Black Arts Legacies. Following the social upheaval and economic fallout of 2020, arts advocates approached Cascade PBS to create a project documenting the contributions of Black artists in Seattle. Fast forward to today, Black Arts Legacies has become a multimedia archive of dancers, architects, poets, curators, musicians, and more. Now the project's in its third season, and the 10 artists profiled this year are being revealed one by one on a weekly basis. In this episode, we talked to Vivian Phillips, one of the advocates who brought the idea to Cascade PBS, about the project's origin story, what's in store for season 3, and what Black Arts Legacies means to her. Before we get into Black Arts Legacies, can you tell me who you are and your role in the arts community here?
Vivian Phillips. I have had the honor of being in the arts community in some capacity for probably 4 decades here in Seattle and in other ways and places. Right now, I have been working on a little project called Art Noir. It is a nonprofit organization, Black arts organization, that I founded in 2021. We are an online publication and a brick and mortar Black art gallery and retail store in the Central District.
And what is Black Arts Legacies? How did it come to be and why did it start?
I love Black Arts Legacies, first of all. And I served on the Seattle Arts Commission for 6 years, the last 3 as chair. When I transitioned off of the Arts Commission, Quentin Morris became the chair. And this was, you know, it was a challenging time for the Arts Commission and the relationship with the mayor's office. There was a lot of transition happening at the time. And Quentin and some members of the Arts Commission at the time and some other folks wanted to transition the mayor's arts awards. We were in a time where we were becoming more and more and more aware of how little Black lives mattered in America.
George Floyd's arrest and death in police custody on Monday set off protests in the Twin Cities. The protesters are demanding that criminal charges be brought against the officers involved.
And I think that one of the ways that the Arts Commission wanted to respond was to put a focus on the value and the valuable contributions that Black artists and creatives had made in the city of Seattle beyond the Mayor's Arts Awards. And the Mayor's Arts Awards didn't happen that year. I think it was 2020. A lot of things didn't happen that year. And they decided, like I said, that they wanted to put a little bit more focus, dedicated focus, on the city of Seattle and Black artists throughout the city. And that's really kind of how the program began. But I was doing some work for the Office of Arts and Culture as a consultant, and they were like, hey, what do you feel about, you know, helping us put this concept together of more focus on Black artists? My idea was to do kind of a yearbook, take different disciplines, different individuals, and kind of feature them in an online yearbook format. Fortunately, I'd worked with Brandon Davis, the arts editor at Crosscut, on a Juneteenth editorial prior. And I just reached out to Brandon and said, hey, what do you think about this idea? And they liked it. I said, yeah, we think we can make something out of this. Now, I had to say that what resulted was way better, way better than that yearbook concept. But I think we got the seed of the idea that we wanted to look at people who had made a mark, trailblazers, if you will, and those who were emerging. And so that's kind of that's what it's become.
Yeah, and there's so many artists who you've profiled through this project. It sounds like by the time season 3's wrapped, there's going to be 50 individual artists.
That's amazing.
And one theater company.
Yeah.
And there's such a range of art that these creatives are making. Can you talk about just how different the art that they're creating is? What are they working on?
Well, I think that, you know, the obvious visual artist, performing artists, we see a lot of that, but it doesn't mean that we can't still profile Anastasia Renee, who is a poet, or Elizabeth Johnson, who's a curator.
We do sell work, but that's not our primary goal. Our primary goal is to really create a space with art for people to have dialogue.
Those people needed to be spotlighted. But the other places that I wanted to go, and I'm so happy that it was embraced, was to look at architecture. Ben McAdoo, Mel Streeter, folks like that. And I'm really excited that in this season, we get to put a focus on people like T. Denard, who has been a theater maker, if you will, and a theater artist for as long as I can remember. Tiffany Wilson was spotlighted, and then she shows up in Teatro Zanzani.
You've been looking out the window.
And so it's just like it's been the synergy around how we have selected artists. And believe me, it is a tough, tough job to look at all of the folks that are out there that could be spotlighted and to say, okay, maybe next year, you know. So it's felt really good for us to get to this place where we have done 50. Hopefully, we'll get to a place where we've done 100 and it'll continue to grow. That's my hope. But it has been quite rewarding to see some of those stories that if they aren't told, they will become forgotten. And I think that that's the most significant thing that the Black Arts Legacies represents is memory and holding on, preserving that memory.
With these artists, are there any stories that particularly stick out, just things that come to mind and impacted you?
I am blown away by the piece that Tifa did on Reginald Andre Jackson. And the fact that it's up for an Emmy, I am just like, oh my God, that's amazing. I've known Reggie, if I might call him that, for a very long time. But the story and the way that the story was told uncovered a lot for me that I didn't know about him. The story of Al Doggett and the work that he has been doing in Seattle. Those are beautiful stories. To have had Mona Lake Jones' story and her beautiful poetry being resurfaced and represented live, because our very first year, she was one of the guest speakers and she delivered some beautiful, beautiful poetry. I think one of my favorite stories as well has to be one of the Negro Repertory Theater. And how that connects to the story that Reggie was telling, because he wrote this piece called The History of Theater and speaks to the Negro Repertory Theater.
And our host who guides us through the history of theater is able to take us back in time. She actually visits the Negro Repertory Company in the 1930s in the Seattle U District.
People don't know that Black folks have been creative and presenting creativity and artistry in our community for a very long time. We're not new to this. It may be new to a lot of folks. There's just no story, I don't believe, that doesn't bring me renewed joy. I can hear it over and over again, some of them. And I'm just reminded of how significant arts and community has been in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And not only is this project centered around telling the stories and hearing from Black artists, but they're told by Black storytellers,
yes,
these writers and filmmakers and photographers. Why was it important to have Black storytellers behind these profiles?
We started on this project right around 2020. And it was important for me to articulate the necessity for these stories to be told by, for, and about. So they were by Black authors, for Black folks, and about Black people. So this is Seattle. Okay, let me just break it down. Let me just get real. This is Seattle. Not to say that the appropriation of Black stories isn't present around the world. In a city like Seattle, it's so, so, so very important that we have our voices elevated and present. And it just didn't feel authentic unless we were going to engage Black folks to tell these Black stories. And fortunately, Jasmine Mahmood said yes, because, you know, she was at the top of my list. I was like, I hope Jasmine will engage in this project. And with her engagement, it just brought more people. And it also uncovered a different wealth of talent in Seattle. So, I mean, I think that, you know, folks are throwing DEI out the window, which is okay. Okay, fine. We're still going to articulate our commitment to being bi, for, and about.
And when you think about the past few years, what has the impact of Black Arts Legacies been in the community as you've seen it?
The thing that I think is really beautiful is when we do the gathering and people come out and we're all in the same room together. You know, you've got all the past spotlights, all of the current people who are being spotlighted, and we're just all in the room together celebrating one another. I think that has been one of the most important outcomes. We don't have that opportunity that often. You know, there can be a play by a Black individual. You know, we all go to that one night. It's great to see, you know, folks in that way too, but to see the diversity of spotlights, the diversity of individuals, for that kind of energy to all be in the room at the same time. And I also think that the community impact has been significant both within and outside of the Black community. And in many ways, it's more important for this to exist for the benefit of people who are not of African descent, so that they understand the origins of a lot that happens, and a lot that happens here.
And what does this project mean to you?
I think when I look at my full body of work in the arts, this is just one more element that allows me to bring together kind of all of those decades of work, all of those decades of working with so many of these folks, and see it in a way that's sustainable over time and it lives outside of my body. That's really important to me. I don't like to use the word my personal legacy. I'm not really into that. But I am a part of Seattle's Black Arts Legacies. And that just, it warms my spirit and it gives me energy. So I really am appreciative of that.
Where do you hope to see this project go in the future?
Well, I just hope it continues. I don't know that there is any limit to what it could become. You know, I used to work in public affairs television. I see a lot of focus, more focus, I should say, on the contributions of Black people in Seattle in many different ways. And I just think that Black Arts Legacies has been a part of that growing interest. And I would just like to see that sustained over a long period of time.
And I know we can't tease too much to the upcoming season, but...
But we can tease
a
little bit.
We can tease a few people, yeah.
I already let the cat out of the bag about T. Denard. He's been in a number of films. He's been on stage. He's like one of those stalwart actors in Seattle who's been in, he's been a presence that it's in... been enriching for me personally, and I think also for a lot of other folks in different ways. So I'm excited to hear T's story. I only know T's story from, you know, my interactions with him. And then obviously Jacob Lawrence is somebody that we, you know, is an easy go-to. Who's not so easy go-to is his wife, Gwendolyn Knight. And her visual art has been so stunning and so unrecognized, I think. So we're actually focusing on her this time around as well. Gwendolyn and Jacob used to show at the same gallery years ago. And after the gallery closed and they both passed away, you know, we see Jacob Lawrence collections, but we don't see Gwendolyn Knight's art as represented. And so I'm very excited that she is going to be in this iteration of Black Arts Legacies. It's also great that we were able to, in the past, focus on Barbara Earl Thomas. So it's kind of, you know, Barbara Earl Thomas, Jacob Lawrence, and Gwendolyn Knight Lawrence. Those three kind of go hand in hand, if you will. I do want to acknowledge the role that Quentin Morris and Sharon Nyree Williams and Tim Lennon, those were kind of the three people that were committee members that brought this concept, this original concept of honoring Black artists in a deeper way to me. And if they had not done that, this would not be happening. So I want to make sure that those individuals get acknowledged and that they receive the credit that they're due for even picking up the phone and calling me. And of course, I say, what do you want, Quentin? Why do I have to do this? But I'm really, really grateful that he called me and that those folks were present enough in mind to think that we could do something like this. That was a bold move on their behalf. So I just want to say thank you to them.
Thanks for listening to Northwest Reports. This week's guest was Vivian Phillips. This episode was produced by me, Maliha Sayed, and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. The story editor was Ryan Familiner. Our executive producer is Sarah Menzies. You can subscribe to Northwest Reports wherever you listen. And whatever platform you're listening on, please review us. We'd love to know what you think of the show. Also, if you would like to support the work we do at Cascade PBS, whether it's our lineup of podcasts, the video docuseries we stream every week, or the in-depth reporting we deliver every day, go to crosscut.com/membership. In addition to supporting our journalism, members receive complete access to the on-demand programming of Cascade PBS. For the latest political, environmental, and culture news from the Pacific Northwest, visit crosscut.com. That's also where you'll find all of the written and video profiles, photographs, and podcast episodes for Black Arts Legacies. Northwest Reports is a product of Cascade PBS. I'm Maliha Sayed. We'll be back soon with another episode.